Well, welcome to Renew Church. Very exciting. Yes. And we are absolutely thrilled to have you guys with us to celebrate kind of what God's done. We've been praying together for months and months, asking him to lead and to bless a new church. And he has far exceeded everything we've asked for, everything we've thought of, and has just radically blessed us. There's story after story to tell about how all of this equipment almost just magically appeared to us, and how the Lord has assembled a team of folks who are making this church possible. And I can't thank you enough to all of you who are praying for us and are working hard to make this possible, because I don't know, there's many of us who, Renew Church has kind of already been our church for quite some time now, and it is wonderful for me, for my family, to have this as our church. So thank you, and thank you, and thank you. I want to just share with you a little bit about what's going on here at Renew Church, so that kind of we're all up to speed, so we could just get to praising Jesus and helping people grow in their relationship with God. But first, hey, for those of you who have kids, we want you to know that your kids are welcome in this place. So you can bring them in here. They're great here. I'm obnoxious. They can be noisy. It's good. And so I'm not uncomfortable. You don't need to be uncomfortable. However, we do have a rock and roll kids program we're calling Renew Kids. Get it? Get it? Huh? And so, but anyway, we have three classrooms, one for 0 to 4-year-olds, one for K through second grade, one for 3rd through 6th through the breezeway, and wonderful programming. This Heart Ransom has been so kind to us to let us use this facility and the playgrounds and the basketball courts. And so there's a wonderful program for your kids, so we encourage you to check them in. And then at the end of our service, when I'm done speaking, we're going to have each Sunday an extended time of response with worship and communion and prayer. And you're welcome right then and there to go grab your kids, check them out, and bring them in here so they can worship the Lord with you, take communion with you, with us. And so, or you can choose to let them hang out there and then get them at the very end of the service. So if you have kids, we're excited to have you here. If you have youth or you are a youth, we have a rock and roll Renew Youth program that's going to be launching on Thursday, January the 21st at the House of Morgan and Jonathan Kaler. And they're going to meet there on Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30. And you can find out more about this on our website, and you can talk with Jonathan and Morgan today and catch them. But we're really excited about what God's going to do with youth at Renew. Also wanted to tell you a little bit about life groups. Our hope and plan is to see that at least 80% of this church is connected on a weekly basis in home groups. And we're calling those home groups life groups. And they're going to be meeting on different evenings of the week. We've got groups meeting on Sundays, on Wednesdays, and on Thursdays. Right now, currently, we have 7 groups teed up to launch in February, and you can find the location and the times and the dates for those groups back at our welcome table. And the idea is we're going to meet on Sundays to worship Jesus here and try to grow in our relationship with him. We're hoping people are going to meet Jesus right here in this room. And then throughout the week, scattered across the Modesto area, we're going to meet in homes to get to know each other, to help encourage each other, to do like Hebrews 10 kind of fellowship, where we're encouraging each other, spurring each other, praying for and encouraging one another. And so we encourage you today to take a look at the welcome table, or you can go to our website, and you can see a map and a list of the times and location and who's running those groups. And so it's amazing. It's wonderful. So I hope you'll get involved. Lastly, I wanted to say that if you're interested in helping us set up, tear down, do music, help with the kids, help with donuts. Who wants to help with donuts? Lots of people. So we've got all sorts of ways that you can serve: a security team, a medical team, a team that's just dedicated to helping us unload that trailer and load it all back up at the end of the day. And so you can find a full list of all of the areas to serve on our website. Just click on the volunteer link. We ask for everything about you because we don't trust people. And we just want to get a chance to know a little bit about who you are, what you're interested in doing, and then we'll be in touch with you to get you connected to a team. All right? I'm done. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to John 17. John 17. And if you need a Bible this morning, there are some fine men coming down the aisles right now, and they'd love to hook you up with a Bible. And John 17 is where we're going to be this morning. By God's grace, we want this to be a church where everything is all about Jesus. Everything. Everything we do, everything we're trying to accomplish, everything we're putting together in terms of programming and events, everything. We want it to all be for him, about him, led by him, controlled by him. And so what a Could there be a better way to kick off our Sunday gathering except to look at what kind of church would Jesus want? And we find that here in John 17, here Jesus is praying for the church. And in his prayer, we find out the kind of church Jesus wants. So we're going to look at Jesus' prayer for the church this morning. And so I'm going to read the entire chapter, beginning in verse 1, where it reads like this. It says, "After saying all of these things, Jesus looked up into heaven, and he said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you've given him authority over everyone, and he gives eternal life to each one that you've given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. I've revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they've kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I've passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who were mine belong to you, and you've given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world, but they're staying in the world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except for the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. But now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled with my joy. I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they can be made holy by your truth. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may become one as we are one. I in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world would know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all of the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I've revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." Let's pray together. Well, Father, we want to just say hallelujah. Thank you for the church that you have kicked off. Thank you for the family that you're knitting together, for the brothers and the sisters, young and old, who you have knit together already to be a part of this church. What a blessing it has been to be a part of you doing this and to watch your grace, your faithfulness, your goodness unfold and shower down from heaven on this new beginning church. And we ask that you would take Renew Church and make of it everything you want it to be. Thank you for all of your churches here in Modesto, the wonderful privilege it's been to be on the receiving end of such love and support from so many pastors, Christians, and churches across Modesto. And we pray that Renew would have the grace and the strength that it needs to play the part it's supposed to play in the beautiful tapestry of your churches scattered throughout this city. Give us a love for you that we've never known. Widen our gaze, dig deeper into our hearts, and make space for us to love you more and to be excited about what you want to do with our lives, with this church. Father, we pray that for the entirety of this church's existence, that this church would be about you and about your son, and that Jesus' name would become sweeter, more beautiful, more powerful, more influential in Modesto as a result of this church. God, we commit our lives to you fresh and say, God, help us to play the part we're supposed to play as you're putting this thing together, and help us to be as open to what you want to do through our lives in this church as you would see fit. God, we pray for our time together in your word this morning. Thank you for it. Help us to hear our Savior's voice as he prays this prayer over us. And help us this morning to be encouraged and strengthened, stirred up to leave here, motivated to live the life that this prayer is meant to stir us towards. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. All of human history is one unending saga about one man and about really one moment, this moment. Back before time and space began, there was the Father, there was the Son, there was the Holy Spirit, and together it was their dream to bring the universe and humanity into existence, and so they did. And then as soon as we had the chance, as humanity, we threw off God's authority, and we spurned his love, and rejected him, and brought into this universe evil and darkness and sin. And as a result, this world became fallen. We became fallen. But our God, who's just, who's holy, who in his justice and in his holiness, our evil and sin is a big deal. Even though that's true about God, what's also true about God is that he is a God who loves us with an unending, never giving up kind of love. And when our darkness and our sin separated us from him, immediately he began to put a plan in place for us to be brought back to him. That plan was Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, leaving heaven's throne, coming into this world to become a man like you and I, to live in our world, to experience our joys and our griefs, our pains and our sorrows, but he lived in sinless perfection. And he comes into this world with one sole purpose, and that is to give himself up in our place. He, the perfect, the truest love and grace and light and truth that this world has ever known, came to take our place and to be covered in our darkness and in our guilt and in our shame, and to be treated by God the Father as you and I should be treated by the way that we've lived, though he never lived anything less than a perfect life. And he came to live and to die in our place for our sins, and more importantly, to conquer death and our sins 3 days later, rising from death, the greatest of all miracles, and then to ascend to heaven where now he is working to lead each and every one of us into a real relationship with him. That Jesus, it's his desire that every single person that walks this earth recognizes that we are separated from him, but that he is the one who came to save us. It's his desire that every single person comes to know that they're guilty but loved. And for any and all who admit their guilt before God, turn their lives toward him and receive his love and forgiveness, it is his desire, God's desire, to give them forgiveness and freedom, and a new relationship with him that begins now and it goes on forever. That all was made possible because of the moment that Jesus is in right now. Here on this night, Jesus is together with his closest followers praying just hours before the cross. And he knows the cross is coming. He has been moving that way for years. And he knows that this is his last chance to be with his disciples before he goes and dies for them and us. And so here he is, and he begins praying, and look at his prayer. It begins with glad surrender. Look at verse 1. He says here, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. The hour has come. Jesus knew his hour, his time to be run through with God's justice for us. It had come. He knew it had come, and he didn't run away from it. But like the Savior we needed, he said, Father, the hour has come. Bring glory to yourself. Do to me what you need to make sure that our plan comes through. It's a prayer of glad surrender. It's also a prayer of settled confidence, about what he had accomplished in his life. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. Wouldn't it be amazing to come to the end of our life and be able to pray something like that? Lord, you gave me things to do and I did it. But that's exactly what Jesus is praying. He's saying, Lord, I've done it. Everything you gave me to do, I've done it. Now I'm ready to come home. What's wild about this prayer, think about it. It's the night before the cross. He's huddled together with his disciples. What do you think would he be praying for? What would he be crying out to God? A few short verses in this entire chapter are dedicated to him, and the rest of it from there forward is dedicated to us, to the church, to Jesus' followers. You feel that? On the night before he's going to the cross, as he drops his knees and he lifts his head to heaven, who is on his mind? Us. And he's praying for the church. And he prays for lots of things in this prayer, and it's beautiful. And I want to drill down into three of those things this morning. These three prayers of Jesus for the church, I pray, will set the tone for our church. They're meant to motivate us to kind of want to answer his prayers. To hear what Jesus' heart and desire is for the church and say, you know what? By God's grace, help me be that kind of person. Help Renew Church be that kind of church. This prayer also is an encouragement to us, and it is meant to stir our lives. And so that's what we're here to do this morning, is to, number one, be encouraged by the Lord. Number two, be stirred in a life that will answer these prayers. And number three, to see that Renew Church becomes the kind of church that Jesus wants. And so let's begin looking at Jesus' prayer for the church. And the first thing he prays is, Father, protect them. Father, protect them. Look at verse 11. He says here to the Father, now I'm departing from the world, but they're staying in this world. But I'm coming to you, Holy Father. You've given me your name, and now, notice these words, protect them by the power of your name. One of the first things Jesus prays for us, he's looking to heaven, he's saying, Father, protect them. Father, watch out for them. Father, keep them. The language that Jesus uses is the language of a soldier guarding a city, of a shepherd protecting its sheep. God from heaven, Jesus from earth, is looking up to God in heaven saying, I'm leaving. I've been here with these disciples. I've been able to watch them and protect them and lead them and hold them together. And I'm leaving them now. Father, do the work in their lives that I have done in their lives. That's what he's praying for. Now, I don't know if you know this, we need protection. We need protection. We have a real enemy. Many people like to believe in the idea of a God, a good, powerful creator being. It's interesting, many people who believe in a God don't like to believe in the idea of an alternative, opposite, spiritual, dark reality. Even Christians can sometimes struggle to believe that though they believe in a real true Father in heaven and a real true Jesus, they have a hard time believing in a real true devil. I don't know if it's the Looney Tunes Saturday cartoons that got us thinking that it's just a figment of our imagination, the jumpsuit, pitchfork, the whole nine. I'm not sure what it is about us, but we like to just pretend as if there wasn't some very real, personal, powerful kingdom of darkness out there trying to destroy us. But it's real. And we need God's protection. Even if there weren't some dark spiritual force out there, we have enough inside our own hearts and minds we need protection from. Like sheep, we're defenseless animals that are prey to any predator who would want us. We're also like sheep capable of destroying ourselves, throwing ourselves off cliffs. So we need protection from the darkness on the outside, from the darkness on the inside. Now again, this prayer is meant to be an encouragement. Anybody encouraged yet? The encouragement is this. What Jesus prays here, prays for protection. It's meant to both encourage us and shake us a little. It's meant to encourage us and wake us up. Encourage us in this. Jesus kind of has an in with God. And so if he is praying for our protection, we can be darn well sure that God's going to protect us. A Christian who understands what Jesus is praying here is the Christian who can rest assured in God's protection. You see that? But a Christian who hears Jesus praying that we would be protected, could you imagine what the disciples are feeling when they hear him pray that? Maybe at first they're like, oh yeah, if he's going, God help us. Wait, he's going? Wait, what? We need protection? You feel that? So it's kind of like warm fuzzies, kind of freaking out all at the same time. What does that look like practically for a Christian who understands this prayer? Here's what I think it looks like. I think it looks like a child who understands that so long as they're around their parents, they're free. They don't have to be looking over their shoulder. They don't have to be worried about what's coming around the corner because mom will scream and throw things if something dangerous is coming, right? But that same child knows that they need to be close to mom and dad, because if they lose sight of them or found themselves away from them, then they would be in danger. Does that make sense? So a Christian who understands what Jesus is praying here is the kind of Christian who is saying, Lord, help me to live confidently in your protection, and God, bind my wandering heart to you. There's an old hymn that I think encapsulates the kind of tone that I think Jesus is trying to produce in our hearts and in our church as he prays this prayer. It's called O Worship the King. In the very last lines of the song, there's kind of a description of us and a description of Jesus. And a Christian who gets these two things is the kind of Christian Jesus is aiming to produce in this prayer. Listen to these lines. We are frail children of dust, and we are feeble as frail. But in thee do we trust, nor do we find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. God, help us as a church to recognize our need for protection, to stay close to him, and to pray for his protection, and to try to take sin and playing with the enemy seriously, but at the same time, to rest assured, confident, knowing that we are watched and kept by a protecting God. Jesus says, Father, protect them. Second, he prays, Father, bind them together. Bind them together. Look at verse 21 and 25. He says here, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Look at verse 25. He says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world would know that you sent me and that you love me, love them just as much as you love me. Over and over and over and over again in Jesus' words to his disciples, here in his prayer over the disciples, his followers, he has taught them, he has trained them, he has smote them, he has prayed for them. Be one, be one, be united. Be in real relationship with each other, be for each other, be in each other's corner, help each other. You need each other. Be one. It's Jesus's great, deep desire for all of his followers, especially within their churches, and even all of his churches across the communities where they're spread, for those Christians to be in living, real relationships of love and of peace and of support toward one another. Jesus's dying wish here is kind of that the kids would get along. God, that would be nice. Here he is. He's leaving from earth to heaven. He's going back, and he's saying, Father, help. Help my followers. Help those that bear my name to love each other and to live out real relationships of peace and of unity. As Renew Church, by God's grace, we want to be one of those kinds of churches. Now, what does that mean? It means that we push past our nice kind of bubbles of not knowing people and not being known, and bursting those bubbles and going into the messiness of real relationships. It's funny when you think about it. Wouldn't you love to be a part of a church where everyone knew you and you knew everyone? Wouldn't you be scared of a church where you knew everyone and everyone knew you? Huh? Huh? Guess which church Jesus prayed for, though? The kind of church where everyone is working. I kid, but think about how cool this could be. It's going to take work, but wouldn't it be wonderful if Renew Church, as it ages by weeks and months and years, becomes a church where people know each other and love each other and are working hard to encourage and support and strengthen each other in a real relationship? And not just in the hug you on Sundays kind of way, but I know you, I'm praying for you, and I'm, when necessary, poking you, and you me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful kind of church? That is the kind of church Jesus prays for. Even beyond just the local church, Jesus wants all of his Christians to be known for their unity. Sadly, I really think that the enemy must have heard Jesus praying when he prayed this prayer, because doesn't it sure seem like throughout church history, hell has not stopped to try to turn as much energy, time, and resources that should be devoted towards loving Jesus and being a light and an influence for him, but instead redirecting all of that time and energy towards the terrible waste of time and the terrible publicity that it is for God with the infighting between churches and leaders, and it's nonsense. And our heart and prayer at Renew Church is that this church is a church that is for and in great relationship with every church in this town that loves Jesus, that is about making disciples. Now, that's going to take work. It's easy to get excited about our church. I don't know if you're excited. I'm excited about our church. But you know what? Our church is a church across a city that's filled with lots of great churches. And we're just one part of Jesus' thing in this community. And we're going to have to work hard to keep believing that and keep saying that and not let the subtle thoughts in our mind of, well, most churches would be better if they did church like us. Or most Christians would be better if they believed the things about the Bible that I believe, right? It's easy to start believing that. And then we say, yeah, I love all the other churches in town, but really they should get their act together and come here. And what I'm telling you and what the Lord's telling us is that that's nonsense. He wants us to play our part and to be actively working towards real, productive, healthy, united relationships with other churches. Now, friends, those of you who have been a part of the story that is Renew Church, we have been on the receiving end of incredible love, of incredible support from so many churches and pastors and Christians in this town. I just got a text from Jim Applegate over at Redeemer this morning. He tried to celebrate us last week. He was a week off. He celebrated our tech rehearsal that was last week. He's like, dude, so stoked for you. But we have been on the receiving end of such love and support from so many churches. Now, we've had a great example set for us, so it's our turn to live out that example and to now be a loving, active support. We want to be the first people to defend the other churches in town. Don't let somebody talk nonsense to you about another church in town. Don't buy into the gossip and the, well, it's this church, this church, this church. What would it look like if in Christianity, what if in just Modesto, all of the energy that's devoted by Christians to trash-talking other churches and Christians, what if just all that energy was devoted towards building God's kingdom? That could do some really cool things, huh? So let's be that kind of church. All right, we move on. Jesus prays, bind them together. Lastly, he prays, Father, shine through them. Father, shine through them. Look at this in verse 17. This prayer is going to scare you a little bit. He says, make them holy. Here it is, verse 17. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Here's what Jesus prays. Father, I'm sending them in. So make them holy. That's what he prays. Father, I'm sending them in, so make them holy. Or put in my words, Father, shine through them. It is Jesus' desire that we as a church, that every Christian, wherever they are, that they are a blessing and an influence for light and for love and for truth in the different places that God puts them. And for Renew Church, us, that's Modesto, that's this area. Jesus wants this church to shine, to be a blessing to Modesto. And so to do that, Jesus prays, make them holy. Now, what does that mean? Because I'm sure someone's thinking, does that mean I glow in the dark? Or does that mean I become saintly in some detached from humanity, holier than thou kind of way? What does it mean to be holy? I love what C.S. Lewis says about everything. And what he says on this is brilliant. In one of his letters writing about holiness, C.S. Lewis says, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it's irresistible. Hear that? When one meets the real thing that is holiness, it's irresistible. What is holiness? You'd be hard-pressed to find a great definition, so you're stuck suffering through mine. I scoured resource after resource looking up this idea of holiness, and it's really hard to narrow down. We know that it's something that the angels ascribe praise to God with, right? In Revelation, there's that picture, this beautiful picture of heaven with beings that we don't have the language to describe, circling God's throne and saying, holy, holy, holy. The picture's interesting because they got their eyes covered, but they're trying to be close to him while they're saying, holy, holy, holy. What does that mean? when there's flashes of God's brilliance, of his glory, of his truth, those words wholly find themselves on the lips of those who are experiencing that revelation. We don't exactly know how to define it. Here's my best shot. You ready? God's holiness is that character about him that makes him uniquely distinct, different than everything and everyone. Pretty vague. I just told you what it's not. It's that unique character about God that makes him distinct from everyone and everything. You see, God is love, and he's pure love, but he's also just and pure justice. What does it look like when a being is full of love and full of justice? Holy, holy, holy. What is it like when someone is full of grace but full of truth? Holy, holy, holy. One author described God's holiness as the full extent of each one of his characteristics. And when you add that all up together, that is holiness. But what does that look like? It looks like Sunday school answer. Jesus. When Jesus came into this world, he was infused with God's holiness. Those that brushed up against him, isn't it funny how they almost had the same reaction to Jesus that the angels do in heaven? The ones who really understood Jesus kind of wanted to cover their eyes and kind of wanted to run into his arms all at the same time. That was his holiness. It's the way that he thought, the way that he dreamed, the way that he spoke, the way that he treated people, the decisions that he made, the way he spent his time. It all was his holiness. And here's what Jesus is essentially praying in this prayer. Father, I'm leaving, and I'm sending them into this world. Father, fill them with my nature. Make them like me. Help them to grow in grace and truth. Help them to grow in love and in justice. Help them to grow. Give them more of my nature. Help them to dream like me, to think like me, to speak like me, to treat people like I do. That's what he's praying. When Jesus prays for the church, he prays for us to be holy, to be a light, to be a blessing. Now look how far he was willing to go to make that possible for you and I. What would it take for heaven to make people like us holy? Look at verse 19. Jesus prays and says, I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. What would it take for God to make us like Jesus? It would take Jesus himself, the Holy One, giving up himself so that God could make us holy. You see that? Jesus willingly, gladly, for the joy that was set before him, went to that cross with all of his holiness, and he gave it up to us. Jesus took, listen, his pure joy, and he gave that to us so that we could give him our shame. Jesus gave us all of his light and truth so that he could take on himself the just punishment for all of our deception and darkness. Jesus experienced in that moment on that cross what it was like for an unholy person to come into contact with God's holy justice so that when we on earth cry out to God for forgiveness and for salvation, we can begin the process of him making us holy. He wants to do that, and he will do that. I love what, is it Matt Redman, Here I Am to Worship? Tim Hughes. I have the title, not the name. Someone brilliant, one of those two, wrote this song. The words, here they are. Light of the world, you step down into darkness, and you open my eyes and let me see. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here's the second verse. Listen to this prayer. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake became poor. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Jesus, in that moment, the moment he's going to as he's praying this prayer, he was going there to just empty himself of all of that holiness to take on himself all of our shame so that he could be run through with God's justice and we could be made free. And the more that we believe that, the more holy we become. And we don't become weird or glow. What does a person look like who gets that their guilt and their shame has been taken by the only true Holy One? They're humble, and they're kind, and they're gracious, and they're compassionate, and they love, and they're motivated to care about people. They look like Jesus. So this is our prayer for Renew. God, protect us. Help us to be scared of our sin, to be serious about the enemy and the spiritual darkness that is a real enemy in our community and in our homes and in our lives. Oh, but God, help us rest confident in your protection, knowing that you're going to take care of us. Oh, God, bind us together. Help us to truly break out of our bubbles and to be open to and active towards being in real relationship with people. Join a life group. God, help us to have the backs of other churches in town, to be an active influence, to silence the nonsense that is the infighting and this in the church. And then God, make us holy. Help us to shine. Send us into Modesto. Send us into our week, infusing us with the love and the truth and the grace and the compassion and the others-centeredness of Jesus. Father, thank you for what you're going to do through this church. We are blessed. You've done a great thing, and we have a front row seat to watching you do it. And Lord, it's wonderful. And we pray now that you would bless our souls and our lives, that we would hear your voice and follow you together in what you're going to do through Renew. Father, we pray that you would protect us and keep us. We need keeping. We are prone to wander, and we need your help to take sin seriously and to draw near to you and then to live in confidence of your protection, even when it's scary and we don't always feel safe. Help us, Lord, to trust in your ever-watchful eye and your strong, everlasting arms. Father, we pray that you would bind us together, that we would be a church of real relationships, that, Lord, you would make us bold and compassionate and eager to get to know the people to our left, to our right, in front of us, and behind us, that in just a few short weeks that this would be no new place with new faces to most of us here, but that this would be home and family where we know people who know us and are praying for us, and we care for them, and we're praying for them. Help us to be an active influence for unity in the body of Christ in Modesto. Lord, help us to be united together with all of your churches in this town. And we pray also, Lord, for your holiness, the nature, the essence of your Son Jesus to come down from heaven and to fill our hearts and to fill our church, that we would be known for our grace and truth, our love and our justice. Make us more like our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.